What would a train ticket from New York to Philadelphia in 1950 say about race in America? A local high school history teacher is exploring that ticket and 99 other objects during Black History Month. As part of our Life of Learning project, 90.5 WESA Sarah Schneider reports.
Museums interpret history with objects, but there's now a global movement of not just looking at items displayed behind glass, but rather hearing about who used them and how they shaped history. The British History Museum, for example, tells the story of humans through 100 objects. History and arts teachers at the Ellis School in Shadyside like that idea, and for the first time are using 100 objects to teach the history of race in America.
In my history classes, we deal with race all year long, but kids want to compartmentalize topics like this, and I want to get past that and to show this how people's racial attitudes change over time and how and why that happens.
That's Rick Malmstrom. He selected ordinary items in American history that would have been used by both black and white people in an attempt to explore the evolution of racial attitudes. The class is now in the second round of objects covering 1860 to 1950. Items include a typewriter, a bus ticket, acoustic guitar, police baton, Vaseline pomade, and a flapper dress.
The pomade, yeah.
Well, you gotta think about hairstyles for the time period. I mean, it's more than just the pomade itself.
Well, the 20s were a period of real change for African Americans. Entertainment became a reality. Flappers were black and white, it's true. In the Harlem Renaissance, for example, you would have seen African American and white people together in clubs there. So flapper dress witnessed all of this, all these changes from either it could be a white person's flapper dress or a black person's flapper dress. But what they saw going around them and what it meant to them, why they thought about it the way they did.
The students pick an object in Google search. They read articles and search eBay. Malmstrom wants them to know the history of the item, but also who used it. He said it gets students to think about race in a different way. During the pre-Civil War section, junior Dana Rouse studied the Akin drum.
It was like interesting the process of how it was made in Africa and then like taken over with slaves and like how white people would think to profit off of it and like sell it and trade it more than black people would think to like use it, how they used it at home.
She said her research gave the object a deeper meaning, and Malmstrom says that's the intention.
So we think very differently about race today, hopefully, than we did, say, in the 19th century, when slavery was still alive. And so, but that change has been very gradual over time. We've gone through the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s and so on, and so instead of just studying those events as they happen, I wanted to study how people's attitudes changed because of those events.
The students represent their object in a first-person narrative, which is recorded and layered with images for a multimedia video that is uploaded to YouTube.
They speak in the first person, so they literally become the object, and the object almost as an observer of what's going on around it.
What are you? What was your function or use? Who used you and who didn't? Race, age, gender, social class, that kind of thing.
I was owned by a woman named Elizabeth Margaret Chandler, who was a poet that spoke out on social issues.
This is junior Abby Thornton describing one of the objects, a silk coin purse popular in the 1830s.
She believed in the equality of everyone and used me as a bold way to support the cause of the abolitionist movement. The fact that these educated women carried me says a lot about these women of America. If the women were educated, then more often than not in the North, they supported abolition and equality.
Of your use. Did your use change over time, how and why? And then the two questions which you come up with your own.
I'm a history teacher and I've been at this for a while. But more and more, because of the resources that are available, the best way to teach history is to have students teach themselves about history. And that's exactly what's happening here. I'm providing a lot of the framework and a lot of the foundational context. But then what the real deeper learning comes here.
I'm Sarah Schneider, 90.5 WESA News.
For photos and more Life of Learning stories, see WESA.fm.